WellMed is directly supported by our listeners of this show. Head on over to patreon.com/WellMedPodcast and find out how you can get involved. Enjoy the show? Join our Discord community. Share deck lists, meet new friends, discuss strategy, and more at discord.me/WellMedPodcast. This episode of WellMed is brought to you by Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Twitter and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzBro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 110 of Well Met. We're a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is May 30th, 2017 from studio number 5 in Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is a very special crew. First, we're going to say a quick hello to our friend from Kansas City, J.R. Cook. Hey J.R., how you doing, man?
Hey John, pretty good. How about you?
Doing well, doing well. As you can tell, I'm in a whole new space this week, and it's been a giant cluster trying to get it all together, but it looks and sounds and feels the best it ever has. So I'm really excited to be podcasting in here for at least the next year, as long as they don't take down our podcast or something weird like that. Next, let's head on over to the first ever guest we've actually had on Well Met. Since it became Well Met, he's an amazing Hearthstone player here to share his knowledge with us this week. And he's finishing an Open Cup right now. So he's such a trooper. It's none other than Freshka. Hey man, welcome back. The first ever guest on our show, man. That's cool.
Yeah, it's been a really long time, right? Like over 100 episodes now.
Yeah, it's sorry. Sorry. I felt like a little bit of like disdain in that voice of like, yeah, thanks for having
me. thanks for inviting me, John.
Jeez.
I was the stepping stone into the real guests like Red.
Dang. Exactly. Yeah, you know, you always try to get a guest about 20% above your popularity. And as you do that, eventually you go. So thanks for being our stepping stone. I'm just kidding. That's so mean. I don't mean it at all, but speaking of stepping stones, hold on, you missed my segue. Speaking of stepping stones, we like to call him number 11 here on the payload. You know, if you guys have ever seen Stranger Things before, he's no stranger to the show, been on a few times. The rising star in Hearthstone, the Brian Kibler pick of the week. It's none other than Ray C. Hey, Ray.
Thanks for calling me number 11. That's a special number to me, actually. It's a number that makes me feel all some type of way right now. I got number 11, 11th place in the Spring Championships, which unfortunately is the same thing as last place because Blizzard structure is...
Are we going to start that now? Should we just go into that right now? I'm just kidding.
It makes me very sad.
Hey, man, I thought you played great this weekend, and you've been hammering out a lot of high finishes for a while now. So it's just a matter of time. We're gonna definitely talk about that later. Before we do get started with the show, jump into the news and everything else, I've got a couple of announcements that I wanted to chat about really quick. First, you guys got to come hang out in our Discord. Our Discord is hopping right now. We're almost to 100 members in just over a week. Join the community, discuss Hearthstone, improve your game. Come on over to discord.me/WellMedPodcast. And also our new Patreon is launched and it's not too late. So you can head on over to patreon.com/WellMedPodcast. Check out our awesome WellMed wallpapers, coaching, and patron-only Discord channels and more. Our next stretch goal is actually a WellMet episode meetup at, or WellMet episode and a meetup at BlizzCon, which would be really cool to have. So that's what we're working toward. Again, patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. You've got till the end of the month before perks don't go for a whole other 30 days. So if you want to get in on that for June, hop on over ASAP. And if you listen to it too late in the week, well, you snooze, you lose, Captain. Anyways, all right, let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone. And Ray, let's talk about your week first. What have you been up to in the game and around the game of Hearthstone? Don't worry, I'm not rubbing anything in this time.
No. Well, I was basically just kind of went into my cave for a solid like 3 weeks and just practiced for the spring championships and kind of watched all the EU bods and just had a lot of Skype calls with other good players, like mainly Shoop, Noblord, Cydonia, Trey. We talked a little bit too on Skype.
So you're welcome.
Of course. Thank you. I couldn't have not gotten top 8 without you, John. I was pretty happy with all the decks I chose to bring. We kind of called the meta right. Like, it was mainly a control meta game, which we were expecting, but at the same time, it was kind of surprising to see North America stray away from aggro. If you look at the metagames in between weeks, week one was like a lot of aggro. Week one was Europe, by the way. Week two was the Americas, which was mainly like 60-70% control and mid-range. And then week three, so far looking at the APEC list, it's all aggro again, which is really interesting to me, just to see kind of the ebbs and flows and how aggressive different regions are and like how, like what the metagame is affects it for the next week and stuff. Just people's thought processes are interesting.
What venue are you at for
Buffalo Wild Wings?
Did you hit up a B-Dubs, get some wings?
No, this is another story. So originally they didn't have the cave as a venue, which was the only one on the East Coast besides Canada, which is absolutely awful. Anybody who is relatively close to like the tri-state New England area had no place to go, really, except for, Georgia, which is like a 10-hour drive from me, maybe, or longer. And after a lot of complaining and a lot of hard work by our tavern, what do they call them?
Innkeepers.
Innkeepers, yes. Our innkeeper. We were able to get it back. We were able to get back our venue.
Oh, so nice.
I did see that really cool show up.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty amazing that Blizzard ended up giving us back our venue. And so I ended up going to the cave and it was a really good time. It's the best venue by far besides Esports Arena, which they also took away for some reason. And there was like no disconnects. Like everybody was pretty happy. So it was good.
Good. That's good,
I
man.
I think I played well in the tournament. Like I wouldn't change anything. I just kind of lost some coin flips towards the end.
Well, we're gonna definitely jump in and discuss the HCT NA playoffs in a little bit. But let's jump over to Freshka really quick. And Freshka, what are you up to in game? Sounds like you're grinding some of those opens right now.
I've been playing a few opens. I keep getting really close to placing well, and then placing top four and getting useless points. But
Did you get like a $5 gift certificate or anything?
No. That's only penny. First place, man.
Yeah, it's usually like a penny. It's literally a penny.
I think you get like the tournament I'm playing in now. I think second place gets like a classic pack, and first place gets $5 or something.
Well, most of the StriveWire ones are like a penny just because you have to have a prize.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So they give you like a penny, and you're just like, what am I supposed to do with this penny?
Dude, that's brutal.
Just go to Buffalo Wild Wings and spend it there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Buffalo Wild Wings gift card. That's funny.
Well, wings,
Well, I know you've been hanging out pretty high legend. Are you going to be kind of grinding the ladder all day tomorrow, Freshka, and hoping to hit that top 100, top 200? You got a goal?
Well, the plan today was to get like top 20-ish so I could just AFK and then play wild. But now I'm 600 because I was playing priest and it ended up not working out as well as it was. So.
Dang. I hate to see that.
You mind gamer, you.
But at least I played Dragon Priest like a man. So.
It's true. That is very true. That's funny. JR, what about you, man? I'm sure you haven't placed 11th in NA or ground any open tournaments, but did you get at least some good wings this weekend? Or
Unfortunately, I didn't get to play a lot this week because we went out to Land of No Internet over at my mother-in-law's.
Isn't that the whole state of Kansas? I'm just kidding. You guys
have
fiber.
It's so... Missouri. It's Missouri, which is even worse. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, Kansas and Missouri. Like, yeah, I do have Google Fiber, so that is a plus side of living in Kansas, yeah. I guess. But I didn't get a chance to hit Legend like I was hoping to. I wasn't planning on it at the beginning of this month anyway. I'm like, I'll hit rank 5 and call it good. But I just went on a really good streak, ended up at rank 2, not going to be able to finish it out, not going to have the time to do it. So, call it good from there. Rank 2. I'm happy with that. No back-to-back legend for me. I did get a THL win this week, so that made me happy.
Nice.
Been kind of struggling on that front, lately on just, I was losing a bunch 3-2. And not getting that final win. But this week, I was able to pull out the big win. And then, even though I won, Tannen passed me and is now 2 seed. So I dropped down to 3 seed, even though I win. But whatever.
Huh.
No, other than that, the only other thing is our KC Fireside, our Blues Pro Kansas City Fireside is happening in a couple weeks. June 17th, if anybody wants to come out to Kansas City. 21 and over at the Boulevard.
That's right. I got to check flights now that I know I'm staying in Denver. Oops.
Nice. Yeah, but $25 to get in, and all the beer and wine you can drink at the Boulevard Brewing Company.
Challenge
all the
accepted.
Hearthstone that you can play. Come meet us. Hang out with us. Tickets are still on sale and going fast. So.
Awesome.
If you want to get in on that, definitely go check out kcfiresides.com and click on the events tab there. Buy your tickets before they sell out.
Awesome. Woo. Cool. Well, as for me, I know we've taken a long time going through our intro. It's only been 12 minutes. Settle down, Carl. Anyways, I've moved into a new studio, so I didn't get a whole lot of time to play. I hit rank 3 on my EU account week 1. I just bolstered through and got that done. I forgot about my NA account. So my NA account was chilling at like 20, 21. And so to test out my stream, I played like 5 games with Token Shaman, which I haven't touched ever. And it is just the dumbest deck, at least at rank 20, because it was just like my chat is verbally and textually harassing me about the plays that I'm making. We're just winning anyways. Didn't even
Which
matter.
Which version?
The vanilla Vicious Syndicate one. So just like straight vanilla. I didn't do any research on it. I'm like, I have like 30 wins left on my shaman for Golden Shaman. So let's just see if we can get some of that out. And we did. And I went 5-0 on stream, and then I went another 9-0 off stream. So that deck's dumb, at least at really, really low rankings when you're as good at the game as I am, obviously. As the Padawan to Racy and Freshka, they can attest to how narrow-minded and stupid I am at this game. Let's go into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes.
What? I missed it. Sorry.
I said I was there when your cherry got popped in Hearthstone for Legend.
you were my guiding light. You were. I will never forget that. I promise. Let's go into the news.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Oh, yes. Well, we do have a bunch of news to discuss, but before we do want to thank our friend or our legends now. Our legends, Albert T, The Real Ben Carell, and Variatus, thank you so much for your support of the show. We really appreciate it, and hope you enjoy your next month of patronage with all the new changes. But we do have some news and new things that happened this week. So our first and favorite thing to talk about is the excellent commercials that Blizzard has had the track record of putting out for Hearthstone, always top tier. I think they won a couple Emmys and ESPYs and Nickelodeon
Choice Awards.
Nick Choice Awards, hosted by John Cena. Anyways, they came out with Hearthstone Mulligans number 2 called Shotgun, and it's where Uther and Gul'dan try to wrap their heads around this concept of Shotgun. And I must say, I have a renewed faith in Hearthstone advertising after this episode. I thought it was amazing and absolutely brilliant. And I give it 5 gold stars and a free Whispers of the Old Gods pack. What do you guys think? Ray, have you gotten to catch this yet? Are you a fan of the Mulligans series?
I watched a little bit of it. I thought it was pretty funny. I don't know. It's kind of like, I think it's better than nothing.
Okay, fine.
I like it. I don't know. It's very haha.
It is very haha. I could have definitely said it better myself, but that's still okay. You know,
I don't know how to describe such a beautiful piece of work.
Is it like a 4-mana 7/7 of greatness?
I don't know if that was great.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I quit, chat. This, I can't do it.
I don't know why they didn't just use the Ben Barrow grab.
That's true. That
was actually the best thing in the world.
That could have been their commercial. It would have sold millions.
That is true. Man.
I miss the old, like the little catch song, the catchy songs. I actually love those. Like the goblins.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's the stuff that I liked. And then Guac Boy still has a special place in my heart, because that was just a solid meme.
That was just dumb. But
I had it on my soundboard
funny.
For a while. It was so bad it was funny. It was like, it's like those old, like early 2000s internet memes that were so bad, but it was the only thing we had. And now that we're 17 years in the future, they're like coming around again. We're like, oh yeah, that's funny again, and that's good again. So I'm with you.
Yeah. As you know, I was not a fan of the first one they came out with. Like on a scale of 1 to 11, it was a solid Ray. So not good.
You just said that was an 11.
That was the worst attempt. That's like when you thank your opponent for top decking lethal.
Yeah,
you just called it an 11. I am 11. I am the number 11, the living embodiment.
Yeah, but anyway.
Oh my god, there's so much.
11 the worst.
Yeah,
11 has to be the worst then. Oh no, I am the worst. It all makes sense now. It all makes sense.
Freshka, take us out of this here, because
now gets it. This one was good though. This one is definitely up there. I quite enjoyed it. It was funny.
I like how Gul'dan has a big gulp and it's got like smoke coming out of it, because I've had a few big gulps from 7-Eleven before, and that's actually accurate. I thought they were trying to be clever. It's just nope. That's what a slushy does. Slurpee. Freshka, what did you think about this, man? Did you get a good chuckle?
It was definitely funny. I don't know if it was funny in the way they wanted it to be, but
interesting. So like, fish. needed some more fish. Yeah, it's tough to tell how self-aware they are about some of these different advertisements. Like sometimes you're like, that has to be on purpose. And sometimes they're like, they know that they don't, do they not know? Do they not know?
Right.
So I guess.
It's like what kind of audience are they appealing to here?
Right. Yeah. So it's, yeah. Anyways, we had that. Go ahead and check it out. It's on the Play Hearthstone YouTube, and it'll also be in your show notes as well. We also got note from Ben Brode this week that they are looking at doing more iteration on Arena to reduce the variance in Arena rewards, like the reduction of double pack rewards. And stuff like that. So they're looking into doing that, but they don't have a lot. It actually came from a salty thread on Reddit that said, 1 year ago, Ben Brode said he, quote unquote, will chat about the Arena Awards, especially Commons. And then he basically said, I'm sorry this didn't happen sooner. We've made a lot of changes to Arena and have already implemented some others that are coming in patches we are locking down now. One thing I don't think we've been great at has been minor updates historically. There's been a renewed focus on that, and our next patch includes things we've wanted for a while, like golden stacking with non-goldens in the decklist and decklist importing. JR, so we don't have Tannen here, who's like our resident Arena junkie, so we'll have to get his thoughts on it later, but are you hopeful for Arena Awards going forward? Do you think we're going to see a decent jump here?
So they, you know, they've been improving Arena in ways that are better than, in my opinion, than the rewards, right? They've, even though Arena's not in the greatest place still right now, the changes that they have made in the last year to Arena are definitely an improvement. Zoom tight there, Ray.
There's a big red mute button right below your camera in Skype, by the way.
I couldn't reach it fast. It was
that looks like he plays Hearthstone. No reaction time required.
That's like 11 sneeze.
Here's a, if you're going to a tournament and you're teching against Ray, play Nosedormu, because chances are he won't be able to do anything before he realizes it hits the board. Okay. Sorry. Ray, I'm sorry. I've been on the tail end of what you're experiencing right now, like 30 times. There's been 30 episodes.
It's usually me doing it to you.
I know. So this feels really good. This feels really great. You want to come on every week? Okay. Anyways.
But no, as far as Arena goes, I mean, they've been improving Arena a little bit throughout the year. It's still not in the greatest place that it could be, but I still think it's in a better place than what it used to be. Rewards would be one of the things that they can do that is small. But my biggest takeaway is the fact that Ben Brode is saying, look, we're not doing enough of these small patches, these small yes. updates to help improve the game. And we want to look into doing that more. And I think that is something that like is really missing from the game. Like I even saw a complaint today on Reddit about how the game, like, you know, they put out a release and then they go quiet until the next release, until they're ready to hype up the next release. And you don't hear anything from them. I mean, you remember the days when we were complaining that we weren't getting enough developer insight on the game, and then they started releasing videos, and even those have kind of dropped off again, right? But these little like patches to the game, and these little quality of life things that they really need to do to this game, I'm excited to see if they actually do go through with this and start having these little patches here and there to just quality of life improvements, even reward improvements, and just making the game better instead of these huge patches that you only get like once a year that do it. I would like to definitely see that, you know, spaced out throughout the year total, instead of one, we get it once, twice, maybe three times a year. I would like to see us get something like once a month, even if they can go on that kind of development cycle on these small changes.
Fresca, what do you think? Do you think that a more iterative approach to Hearthstone is the solution, not just for Arena, but for Standard? Would that help, or is there bigger problems?
I've been saying that they should do those like balance changes they do every about 3 months or so. That way they do it in cycle with the championship, right? So it's right. Not the same decks every 3 months. You see the same decks. Like, there's different changes to the meta where they add cards to Hall of Fame, or even just nerf cards, whatever the case may be. It's different every 3 months. So it's going to be fresh. It's like you get a new expansion every 3 months. So, and then as far as Arena, the only thing I want from Arena is them to add friendly challenges. Like, they did it with everything else. Why can't you challenge other people with Arena decks?
Yeah. That's a good thought, actually.
Yeah. Now, Fresca, aren't they releasing the new expansion? I mean, they're going to be releasing them shortly after the championships, but not before, right?
Right. But I mean, I think it'd be more interesting to see the championships as like the big test of the new cards. Like, it'll really show how much the practice of the players comes into effect. Like, can they figure out the best decks in that amount of time before the championship?
Right. So you'd like to see something get released like 2 or 3 weeks before, and then make people scramble and really try to figure things out.
Right. I mean, everybody's got practice groups, right? So I think, and it makes it even more exciting, right? Like, you'll get a way bigger audience for the championship if it's showcasing all the new cards. People are going to want to know what the best decks are as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I agree with that, like, 100%, honestly. Even as a player, it's slightly more inconvenient to do it that way, just because, I mean, figuring out the new decks, etc., is like, takes time. But from a perspective of like a pro player, that's kind of like your job in some sense, right? Like, most of the people that are qualifying for HCT are capable of doing that, and they do have testing groups, and it would make it a lot more exciting and actually add some skill into innovating and deck building for the tournament. I mean, there already is that level of skill, but if you look at all the lists from the recent championships, there's really nothing out of the ordinary that did well, right? Like, every single deck, aside from maybe the Shaman decks, if you weren't aware of them, but like, most people were aware of like Control Shaman and the Aggro Shaman prior to the championships. There's nothing like super new. There was no wacky deck that you've never seen before. And if you do what Fresca said, like, almost every single deck is going to seem new and exciting, right? So people are going to want to watch. And I feel like the viewership has been lessened over the years. Sure. Probably because it's been not as exciting, maybe. And that would definitely make it more exciting.
I think the game's also been out for a while, too. I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, being out definitely is a thing, but I think the viewership is because there's so many tournaments now. I think Blizzard needs to have their own kind of niche. Like, well, we're the first major tournament to showcase all the new cards. Like, everybody's going to want to watch us. And I think it's really important for the company that makes the game to have the highest viewership. Like, that just makes sense.
So one thing that I actually want to touch on is the adventures. When they did those, there were prelims that happened in between adventures, and that was really cool to me. Like, I forget which one was Firelands Portal. Was that Blackrock Mountain? Which adventure was Firelands Portal in?
The portal.
Yeah, it's in a more recent one. I want to say Karazhan.
Karazhan, okay. Is the portals. Yeah.
Okay. So Firelands Portal was in one of the first wings of Karazhan, which came out right before and was legal for the America's Championships during one of the prelim seasons. So people had to figure out whether or not like that card was really good, and some people really underestimated it, and then there was like Chalky's group that ended up playing like a Tempo Mage deck that was really good with the Firelands Portal and stuff. And there were just more innovative decks back then, even though that was only like a year ago or so, but it was just more exciting when there were like wings coming out as championships were coming out. And every time a new wing came out, even the streamers, like the individual streamers, their viewers would just spike. Like, I remember streaming when a new wing would come out, and it was so much more fun to try to figure out if these cards were good, because people were trying to make bad cards playable just because they were in the new wing, and it was just like more exciting.
Yeah, that is actually one of the things I'm gonna miss with no more adventure modes, is having that ability of having a handful of cards that could just change the meta slightly for that 1 week until you got the new wing of cards. That was a pretty fun time in Hearthstone. I'm hoping they might do something similar with these next sets, with taking out adventure modes and maybe looking at releasing these next sets in kind of wings or something like that, and making them available. I think that would be really cool, because it is something that I am really going to miss in Hearthstone if they don't do that.
I mean, can't they? And they've said that we're going to have larger expansions 3 times there, but we also have Dave Kosak doing all the... We're not doing all the one-player stuff, but like the solo player stuff, Dave Kosak is presumably overseeing.
Yeah, they're going to be doing the single player stuff still. So,
But that, does it also mean that we couldn't potentially see a more timed release of those 130 cards to keep the meta a little bit more? Like, instead of 1 week, like maybe 1 week you get 25 of those cards to play with. Like, is there a way to implement that makes sense and is exciting without like limiting the amount of cards and packs and making you not want to open them until all the cards are out?
I think that they could do something where they have like, and it's sort of like an adventure, but like not call it an adventure kind of thing. Like, they could release like a pre-set, like some type of single player thing that's like to preview the set, you know?
Sure.
That has like cards from the set.
Yeah, that has like 15 cards or something in it, like that. Like, and they release 5 a week.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Like some type of preview that could be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on like when they release it, and in terms of the tournaments that are around that time, like either way, when they release it, whenever they release new content, Hearthstone spikes so hard in viewership for everyone.
Yeah. And it's
so, I think it would,
sorry, go ahead, Freshka.
I think it would be the same effect though if they just balanced cards more regularly. Like, if you update cards that aren't being played, people are going to consider it a new card and they're going to want to see how it works. So I think it'll serve the same purpose with a lot less work.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine, just remember the first, like the week right before Un'Goro came out, and we got one card, a Volcanosaur, and everybody was, and that one card changed the meta completely for that week, because everybody was playing with Volcanosaur and you don't see it played anymore. You know, because there's other cards out there that are better than that, but it was a great card for that 1 week it was out.
Yeah,
I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah, something like that, but like on a, I don't want to say bigger scale, but like a, like more impactful.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of what people are asking for. A bigger scale on that excitement, I think, is huge. I think a more sustainable timeline, where it's not 1 month or 2 months out of the year that you get these wings and these changes, and instead, you know, it's even 8, or let's just say 50%. Let's just say we get balance changes every 2 months. Imagine that at least 6 months out of the year, you have a way to celebrate and focus on the deck creators and the innovators and that part of Hearthstone. And the other half, sure, it's the, you know, you've got the two chess players who know each other's decks, you know, better, and it's finding out who can master that matchup and play better in that and master the game inside the game, the lineups, all that stuff from a tournament perspective. I think that would be really cool. Let's go on, though, because we do have quite a bit to talk about this week. And we actually had the HCT Winter Playoffs going on. And it was fun. I actually got to catch about 70% of this. My plan was there was actually a Buffalo Wild Wings TM at just about 20 minutes north of where I live. That was one of the locations for HCT, and I really wanted to go. But I had to move, and I had to move everything, and I couldn't make the time work. So I'm really sad that I didn't get to hit it. But there was some really good Hearthstone played, and I'd say everyone like 10 and above in the the top 10 and above were amazing players. Whereas like 11 ish and onward, you know, it just kind of all faded into the brutal.
Yeah.
Anyways, big congratulations to Muzzy for winning, Kuonet Ant and Diego Diaz for qualifying for the Hearthstone Spring Championships in Shanghai. Fresh guy, I know, weren't you? You and Ant were on. Was it what Gold Gaming? Was that what it was? It was called.
Yeah, GGLA.
Yeah, GGLA. You guys were teammates together, so that's be pretty cool. Seeing that you're. Former teammate is doing well and finishing high and going to Shanghai.
Well, Ant and I are very close. I actually played in a duels tournament and they used Ant's picture instead because apparently that's how much we were together. So
I actually remember that.
Oh, that's
funny. And I didn't even know. Like I just remember hearing about that a while ago.
Yeah, I love Ant. I'm really happy for him. I mean, it sucks that he had a beat like two other people who are like really close in that group of friends, but you know, better Ant than maybe somebody else who might have finished 11.
Like me. So. Yeah, better Ant. Better Ant than me, right?
Oh my God. That's too funny. What did Freshka, did you get to watch a good chunk of HCT? What did you think about some of the players, some of the decks, the meta and stuff that was going on?
So, I was completely wrong with my predictions. I looked at all the lineups and I was like trying to match up who I thought had the best lineup. And I picked PNC and I think he went 0-2.
Nice.
Like I really liked PNC's lineup just because it was like a lot more controlling, like slower, and everybody else was playing slower decks, but I don't actually get to see his matches, so I don't know what would happen, but I thought he did a really good on preparing for the matches at least. Mm.
Interesting. Ray, what about you, man? You were there. You were in the thick of it.
Yes.
Did it live up to your expectations? Do you feel like that top four represented the best players in the NA region or anything? No.
No. Ant being there is good. Muzzy being there is good. But I was surprised that Kuonet and the Diego Das was there, but I think that they're both good players. Kuonet was already immediately studying his matches that he played on stream. Like he streamed himself studying his own matches with other good players, and he's like actually taking it really seriously. So I'm excited to see his development as a player. And I know Diego Das is good. I played him on ladder a lot. So I'm happy for them, but at the same time, I know that there are other players that I would have rather seen there.
Sure.
And
that's fair. Like it's in a Hearthstone game, we're talking about the most extreme amounts of variance are like 65-35%. You're going to get like that level of sometimes people slip through, and it's not that Diego Das or Kuonet aren't great players, but it's one of the difficult things with the current format, and it's gotten better every year, is playing enough games, enough meaningful games, and having enough good decks to where it's not rock, paper, scissors every time you play, and whoever finds the best way to quantify their rock, paper, scissors game kind of wins. It means that you're gonna get some of those players sometimes who, you know, are still great players, but when you look back at all the different players there, did the top four actually make it? So I think that's kind of an interesting perspective.
I think that they all deserve to be there, and
yeah,
they all did well, and they all played exceptional. They won their matches in top eight, most of them because of skill, strictly skill.
Sure.
If you watched people like I think it was Radom D was playing against Radom. Diego Das or whatever, and he misplayed really bad to lose, and that one misplay lost him the game, like lost him the whole series.
Yeah.
So Diego just strictly played better, and he actually played really well. And then VCT against Kuonet, like Kuonet just played better, and he played fine. And I think that their lineups were good, so they deserve to be there. Like, even if they're not the most accomplished players, that doesn't mean they're not as good. It just means they haven't proved themselves yet. Now they are, so they will develop as players, and we will probably see more of them after this.
Yeah.
This is just their first break into the scene.
I want to pick your guys' brains on some of the top eight decks and classes that were brought. So Hunter and Warlock weren't represented at all, and Priest were only represented once. Fresco is talking about how he tanked to 600 with Priest. So are these classes, Fresca, just ones that aren't, like, do they have any chance on the ladder in tournament, or what makes them so bad in the Hearthstone environment right now?
I think Priest and Hunter are both good if you build a lineup that they're built for. Like, if you could target one or two decks with them. Sure. And then build your whole lineup to beat those decks, I think it has a place there. But the problem with those types of matchups is if you face somebody who doesn't have those decks, then you have a suboptimal list. So I think that's why you don't see as many finish high. But I think they're definitely viable. And even if you just have a lot more experience playing the underappreciated classes, it gives you a huge advantage because people don't know the matchups very well. But I think Warlock has no chance. Like, it's just not good enough.
Yeah. What makes it not good? Are there just, is it too slow? Well, is it?
Well, you can't play Zoo.
Archetype.
Like, yeah. You can't play Zoo because everybody else's minions are better than yours.
Yeah.
Like, you have no good death rattles. You have nothing.
The discard mechanic, like, the discard quest as a whole also is literally based on randomness, which is just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. I know a lot of people wanted to see discard lock work, and there's some powerful cards there, but that makes a lot of sense. What about Hunter, though? Like, Hunter has, you know, a high tier 2 deck in mid-range Hunter on most competitive, most meta snapshots and things like that. Ray, why wouldn't people be bringing Hunter in a tournament-style format?
Oh, they are. It's just in NA, all the good players brought more controlling lineups, and the good players that brought aggro lineups chose to exclude Hunter because they thought other decks were potentially better, like Secret Mage. And Secret Mage actually flopped really hard, even though Ant did well with it. If you look at the overall stats of Secret Mage, it went like 35% win rate or something. It was really bad in the tournament as a whole. So in NA, even though, like, some people did really well with aggro, I would say it flopped. But at the same time, most of the good players weren't playing aggro. Like, most of the big names that you're looking at were all playing mid-range or control lineups. So I'm not surprised that Hunter did poorly in North America just because nobody brought it. And if everybody had brought it, like, say you replaced all the big, like, the EU meta and just brought it to like the NA, like it would have done fine. It would have done well.
It's interesting. So it's just kind of in that awkward spot where it just doesn't have a place to crack that, you know, top five or top four decks that you would bring to a tournament style like this.
I think it does. I just think the NA players just didn't want to. And I think we're going to see, you're going to see it again in APEC, but we did see it a bit in EU as well. It's definitely not, it's definitely like the fourth or fifth deck, but it is good enough to play because it does fit in with a lineup that it does something like Target Rogue or Druid. It's like it's still a good aggro deck for like what it is. And it fits in certain lineups. It's just the good North American players chose to go more controlly or mid range.
Yeah. JR, I know you probably didn't get to catch much of this weekend, right? Because
get to catch any of it. I didn't get to catch any of it.
Freshka, are you kind of on the same page as Ray there for mid range hunter, I guess, in general as a class?
I think it's definitely the fourth deck you bring if you're targeting a specific class. But I don't think it's good enough on its own where you're going to have a high enough win rate against random decks to where you're going to want to bring it comfortably with any lineup. Like, you could bring Mage in any lineup, even if you're not having any specific strategy, because it's just good enough against the field. Right? Like, you could beat any deck.
Yeah.
Like, you might not be favored, but at worst, you're like 40%.
Sure. Well, something that we did see this weekend from the top eight is that all eight brought Paladin, and we saw three control Paladins, two mid-range Paladins, and three Murloc Paladins. So Paladin was a class everyone was brought, and the archetypes though kind of changed a little bit. Ray, I got to pick your question on this one. This one kind of had me confused a little bit. So why is Paladin such a good class, but all the players seem to be at least in some sort of disagreement on the archetype to bring?
They're not in disagreement. They're just afraid of different things. Like, for example, you saw so much control Paladin in North America because of how much Hungry Crabs there were in EU. That's the reason why people brought control Paladin. And people just thought N'Zoth Paladin was not good anymore. And that's definitely true. N'Zoth Paladin isn't as good as against aggro. And Control Paladin's actually good against aggro. So it makes sense to bring Control Paladin. But it was actually, in North America, I think it was strictly better to bring the Murloc-based mid-range Paladin because there actually wasn't any Hungry Crabs. But people were afraid of them. So that's why they ended up going with control over the mid range.
I'm totally blanking right now. Did you bring Paladin, and which one did you bring? If you did,
I brought control Paladin. Yeah, I brought control Paladin.
Any like particular insights as to why you thought control Paladin was the one to bring for your lineup that you can tell us?
I mean, Paladin was definitely going in the lineup either way, just because it was so good against like what the strategy of the lineup was, which is like a soft anti-control lineup that does well against aggro, or decently against aggro.
Sure.
So control Paladin does decently against aggro. You're not getting destroyed by the Hungry Crab lineup. Like, most of the aggro lineups are also targeting Paladin as well as like Rogue and Druid, because the ones that did well in EU had like Hunter with double Hungry Crab, Druid with double Hungry Crab, stuff like that. So I was afraid of bringing the mid-range Murloc Paladin, which is just strictly better in my opinion, because of Hungry Crab. I just didn't want to lose to that. And I felt Control Paladin was strong enough to do its job, basically.
Sure.
Of being like a soft target to other control decks and just doing decently against aggressive lineups.
That makes sense.
It performed about as well as I thought it would. It actually did really well for me, but I know like I played against other people playing Control Paladin, and I was beating them with like Taunt Warrior when you're supposed to beat that matchup pretty definitively as the Control Paladin. Sure. So
interesting. I honestly just didn't even know. It's just like, what is this? I'm so... The Paladin thing, I've never been a good Paladin player, except Secret Paladin. I'm a god. Let me tell you right now, I'm a Secret
Paladin. So is everybody
Paladin
else,
god.
John.
I know you speak. One, two, three. Anyways, so that's it. Thanks for the insight on HCT. Congratulations again to Muzzy. I know a lot of people in the Hearthstone community have been pulling for him for a long time to finally eke out those wins and start, you know, showing up on those top fours and higher in these tournaments. So huge congrats.
Actually, I have a thought real quick on this that I want to step back to. And I want to ask Ray this to see if he agrees. So Paladin, Warrior, Druid, and to an extent Mage, I guess, were kind of the top three and the top eight that were brought deck-wise. And do you think that is because there are, like, each one of those really have a different archetype that people can bring that is a top tier? Like, all of these classes have at least two top tier archetypes that you can bring. Do you think that's the reason why we're seeing that?
I mean, that has nothing to, sure. They just have good decks.
Look at Ray snap on that filter for the podcast. That was beautiful.
Like, I'm just confused. If a class has more good classes or more archetypes, it's going to be brought more.
Right.
It's open decklist tournament, so it doesn't matter. Like, you can't trick your opponent into thinking you're a pirate warrior or something. Like,
oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that HCT, like, you know the lists ahead of time on all of your opponents.
Yeah, like it being a
class. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Like, so you don't get the advantage of queuing up against something that you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
No, you know what everything is. That's why Secret Mage flopped pretty hard, I think.
Because if you know exactly if Secret Mage is coming, you know exactly how to tech against it and play against it, because Secret Mage is no secret if you know it's coming. That's my words of wisdom.
Yeah, never do that again. So help me God. All right, we got to move on because we're already starting to run short on time, and we've got a lot to talk about. I really want to talk about the meta now that we have both Freshka and Ray here to kind of break it down for us. So really quickly to close this out and jump into the meta, we do have the Hearthstone Wild Open. We actually have the schedule. It's going to be the online qualifiers will be June 9th through the 11th with the playoff bracket playing out live July 1st and 2nd. The traditional casting crew will be there. I don't think anything too surprising there. And it's going to be a prize pool of $25,000 for all you wild players out there. There was some drama going on with Australian in that kind of region there where they're directed towards the NA servers, but we're supposed to qualify in the APAC servers. It was a giant cluster. They got it all taken care of, though.
I think they fixed it. Yeah, they fixed it, right?
The Hearthstone team fixed it and just is like, still do that there. We'll pull people out and we'll make it happen. So good on them to do that, but we got to talk about the meta this week.
Journey to Un'Goro.
How did you convince me to do this?
Journey to Un'Goro.
Anyways, so we've got tons going on in the meta this week. And by tons, I mean not a whole lot. This week, though, we've got the Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report. This was on May 25th, so this is about 5 days since getting logged. It's logged over 130,000 games. And the first, Ray, or actually, I'm going to go to Freshka with this one, Token Shaman. So Token Shaman is highly rated at every single rank. It's the number one number one deck at all ranks and rank five to rank one. But at Legend, it falls down to like a tier two. Do you have any insights as to why Token Shaman may be better at lower ranks but not at the higher ranks?
Because it crushes aggro. Like, people at lower ranks are playing aggro druid, and Devolve just makes aggro druid not a deck anymore. So, I mean, any shaman will do that, I think.
So, it's just, like, the speed of the deck, you think, overall?
Well, like, if you're climbing to Legend, especially later in the month, like, you're not going to want to take the time to play a control deck, let's just be honest. So, there's just going to be more aggro decks, and I think
I never want to take the time to play a control deck, for the record.
I think Shaman's just always going to beat aggro.
Yeah, so I was actually, at one point, our group, actually, people did bring it. I was actually the one who deviated from the rest of the group and didn't bring it. The rest of my group, besides Cydonia, brought Token Shaman as an anti-aggro deck. Like, our lineup was, like, soft-targeting aggro. So they brought Token Shaman because of how good it was against aggro. To kind of give you an idea of like how good the deck is against other aggro decks.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to emphasize like the point Freshka made.
Got it. So a better ladder climbing deck and a worse legend climbing deck, in the sense that it doesn't, if you have a good idea that your opponents aren't running aggro, then it's not as good of a deck. So, okay. I think I'm with you there. JR, how do you feel about Secret Mage, dude, being tier one and Burn Mage being tier three?
I mean, if you looked at it a week ago, Burn Mage was number one, Secret Mage was number two, both tier one. And if you look at it now, both are definitely falling off. Secret Mage is definitely higher in legend matchups because more highly skilled players are going to play that deck better than lower skilled players.
Sure.
But you're seeing a lot of mage hate right now on the ladder because Burn Mage and Secret Mage was tier one for like a week there. Eater of Secrets was getting played in everything, including mages themselves for the mirror match. So that would hurt a little bit, but also people have learned how to play against Burn Mage. They know what Burn Mage is trying to do now, and in a more control matchup, like all you have to do is just keep healing back up, and pretty soon Burn Mage runs out of answers and can't burn you down anymore.
Sure.
But Secret Mage is definitely more of a tempo style, quicker play than Burn Mages. Burn Mages all about kind of getting to that ninth turn, dropping Alexstrasza, and then, you know, beating your face in with a Pyroblast and some other shenanigans with Medivh. Whereas Secret Mage definitely is, you know, you're doing more things on turn 2, 3, and 4 and putting pressure on your opponent much, much earlier.
Sure. I just had to rub that in. That's really all that I want to say.
I figured.
I'm savage this week. I'm taking Ray down. I'm taking JR down. I wouldn't dare attempt to take Freshka down because I'll get roasted.
See, John, so. I noticed this week you wanted to focus on that, but last week you didn't even want to talk about the meta when Burn Mage was right at the top. I realize that.
Yeah. That's why, not because you and Tannen talked way too long. Definitely not that.
No, it was definitely
it's never
not
that. It's never that.
It's okay, JR. Just swap out your weapon for Antonitis, and then you beat all the Ares and Joan haters.
Boom. what we talk about every week with the meta, the idea behind discussing the meta on this show is to give people who listen to the show a idea of about what they could run on ladder, what they should run on ladder, if I want to use a little bit more direct terminology. So Freshka, for you, you're coming up on the end of the season tomorrow, but most likely most people are going to be hearing this beginning of the season for June. You're getting ready to grind up the ladder. You want to win. What are you bringing to the ladder there to make that work?
Well, it depends on two things. Are you going to want to play the same deck the whole season and just try to focus on like learning the matchups, and even if it's a bad matchup, keep playing it? Or are you going to want to just play an aggro deck and try to figure it out once you get to legend? Like, I think aggro druid is probably just like the deck that you could just always play and draw innervate and win enough games fast enough to hit legend. So if you don't really want to take the time to learn a deck, just play aggro druid. If you want to sit there and like actually learn a deck, I think one of the mage decks or one of the rogue decks is probably what I would go with.
Sure.
I think Mage is like the most fun deck for me to play in the current metagame. Mage just has so many different things you can do, and like you just notice yourself getting better and better at the deck, which I like, especially in things like the mirror match. And the mirror match is actually really hard to play correctly, and there's just a lot of intricacies to that deck.
How do you, so this might go off the beaten path a little bit, but how do you know that you're getting better and improving at a deck? Like, is there something, are you looking at win rates or something? You're like, I like running these mage decks because I can tell when I'm improving. Is it just like tracking stats and seeing, oh, I'm beating this deck more than I was last time? Or is it like a heart thing? Is it like, do you have like a little locket with your win rates written down in? Or?
No, my heart's actually made of cow, so that doesn't really work so well. But, so...
Don't make me feel bad. That's not fair. That's not fair, Ray. Dang.
Oh, okay. So when I learned a deck, like when I picked up Burn, I don't want to call it Burn Mage because I actually hate that name. I think it should be Control Mage. But when I picked up Control Mage, I didn't really see the appeal of it at first. And then I played it and I wasn't doing that well with it, and then I kept playing it, and I kept playing it, and eventually I was starting to do better with it, because I would notice certain things that I would do better, like, in-game. I'll give you an example. This was actually a really good one. When I played against Ant, I had a decision where I could ping off of his 2-1 on turn 3, or develop my own creature, my own Cabal Courier, and he was Pirate Warrior, so not pinging means I take extra damage. But developing the Cabal Courier means that I get potential future options to, like, help me. And he also has to deal with a 2-2 body, so it's still soaking up 2 damage. Whereas before, when I first started playing the deck, I would just see, oh, I'm against Pirate Warrior. I'm going to ping that minion. It just, like, will save me 2 health. Whereas doing things like playing the Cabal Courier is just strictly better in that scenario. And, like, you just pick up on little things like that. Even with Druid, a lot of people will answer the board when they should just be ramping and ignoring the board, even against aggro, because ultimately, you just building a wall of taunts is what's going to make you win. But people just get so fixated on what's right in front of them, and they forget to see the bigger picture.
Got it. So are you then, Ray, saying that you would run, not necessarily you, but like if you were advising one of our listeners, or like, hey, I'm a rank 5 player and I want to get up there and I want to win and I want to, like, is that your ladder climbing deck recommendation?
If they're not, if they are wanting to just strictly climb, I would just play Pirate Warrior, because it's pretty easy and it's pretty fast, or aggro druid, like Kreshka said. If you're trying to learn the game at a deeper level, I would say that mage is a good deck to play. So
cool.
I guess it depends what your goal is.
Sure, that makes sense. My goal is to win. Well-meant listeners are winners, and they listen for winning strategies. Ray, you should know this.
I don't know. I've watched you a lot, and I don't know if that is your actual goal.
It's true. Sometimes. We did bring somebody on who just finished 11th in NA. So, dude,
oh my God.
Come on. You can't dish that out at me, bro. That's brutal. That is brutal.
I had to.
I was prepared for it. That was a counter spell right there.
Right. That was a counter spell. Gonna mana bind it and cast it back at you for free. Just watch out.
Fair. By the way, will you coach me later this week? Anyways, what about you, JR? What's your plan for June?
I gotta jump off the mage train because it didn't work out well for me this season. So I'm thinking, man, I really like Token Shaman right now. Like the Evo version with Doppelgangster, because it's so funny to pop it off and see what you get. It's just, I don't know why, it's just fun. It's more fun than you know, if I win or not. I just like, for some reason, I like seeing what stupid creatures I get. when I evolve or devolve.
It's the small joys in life. Like
Or one of my favorite things to do is like devolve against like Taunt Warrior and then have enough mana to also pop Bloodlust and just laugh at them as they die. So I'll probably play that just because it is a really good deck. And I think I think something that you mentioned earlier about like token shaman not being as high up in legend as it is in the other ranks is because I don't think that deck has 100% been defined yet because it's still relatively new to the meta compared to these other decks that have been around since close to the beginning of N'Goro. Token shaman kind of popped up in the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's going to be interesting to see where Token Shaman. I'm going to keep playing Token Shaman until my win rate falls below 75%. And right now it's at, I think, like 98. So we're doing good, fam.
So you've played like 100 games and lost 2?
Played 50 games and lost 1. I'm just kidding. Feels like 98. It's probably close to like high 80s in that race.
I was going to say, aren't you legend yet with that? Because that's crazy.
Dang, no. No, like I said, I got rank 3 on EU pretty easily. And, you know, but that wasn't Token Shaman by any means. So, anyways, I'm banning Kapalu in the chat because he's being stupid. I'm just kidding. But I'll unban Kapalu later when I feel like it. Get wrecked. By the way, Raven, one of the casters for HCT and really good player, did stop by and say hi in the chat. So, hey, Raven, and awesome job these past 2 weekends, dude. You and Soddle are my favorite. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody else. Anyways,
Shocky.
Right. Did you guys see that Wreckful wanted back in on the HCT casting?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Boom, Ben Brode. That was the real shots.
Yeah.
That was the real shot.
So let me...
Ben Brode just links the tweet of Wreckful calling him dumb.
So let's lay the table here, or let's get a lay of the land. So about a year ago, I forget which tournament it was, but he was casting a tournament and didn't do a very good job, didn't do research on the players, mispronounced names, and then when he was corrected, continued to mispronounce it anyway and made some comments that you should not make about any human being. And he got pulled during the middle of the day and kind of went away from Hearthstone for a while and then kind of came back recently and hit ranked 1 legend. And after he did, tweeted Ben Broden's like, "Hey, Ben, would you consider me for casting again, please? I'm reformed." And Ben Brode links a tweet from 3 months ago. He goes, "Bro, link to the tweet," which says, basically calls, and I'm going to use the naughty, no, I'm not going, a dumb A. Called him a dumb A. And about his game design decisions. And that was 3 months ago. He goes, "Bro," links that tweet and then just says, "But congrats on rank 1 legend." So Wreckful isn't quite out of the woods yet.
Wreckful got wrecked.
Boom. You think of that one yourself.
Dude, I am all about these terrible jokes today. I'm sorry.
Man, you are. But speaking of terrible jokes, that's not a segue. We got to get out of here. It's been a long show, and I don't want to keep Ray or Freshka here any longer than we have to because their time is expensive, and they've got a lot of grinding to do in the next 24 hours, probably.
You're not wrong.
So thank you both for being here. It's been amazing. We did have a couple emails that I still have from Rock R and Silence that I just haven't been able to get to yet because of time, but we got it, and it'll definitely be in the patron Q&As. I believe they're both patrons, so they should be able to get it answered there for sure. But we will hopefully get to those next week. We do want to thank our friends of the show, again, our legends, sorry, Albert T, The Real Ben, Crow, and Variatus. And JR, what do we have going on for iTunes reviews?
Yeah, so we had a couple iTunes reviews this week. One in the USA from DeSwain Jr. I think is how you pronounce that.
I was looking forward to you having to pronounce that all week, by the way.
Yeah, that was a weird one, man. DeSwain Jr. And also one from all the way over in Sweden, from Brain Lesion 23.
Cool.
So thank you for those iTunes reviews. If you'd like to give us an iTunes review, just head over to iTunes. Look at it, podcast, type in Hearthstone, you'll find us right there. And click on that, give us a little 5-star review, and I'll try not to mispronounce your name next week, but I probably will.
We look forward to it. So let's go ahead and do some shout-outs for the week, and where can people find you? Freshka, you're up first, man. Shout-outs for the week, where can people find you, man?
Usually in the gutter, but... occasionally on Twitch.
playing priest on Legend Ladder and losing. Okay.
Yeah. Twitch.tv/Freshka, and then I think it's AGG_Freshka on Twitter. I don't know. I change it all the time. But
yes, yeah, true. Yeah. It's like you're not supposed to do that, Freshka. You're not supposed to change it every week.
You're not the boss of me, John. Fair enough. That's all I gotta say.
Fair enough. Ray, what about you, man? Shoutouts for the week, and where can people find you?
Shout out to you for inviting me back on the show. Appreciate it a lot. It's always a good time.
That's why Ray's been on the show 4 times and Freshka has been on the show 2.
All right. yeah, sorry. You can find me at PG_RayC on Twitter and at RayC591 on Twitch. I'm going to try to stream very consistently in June. It's looking like it's going to be a pretty free month, so I'm going to try my best to be consistent with that for once in my life.
Cool. Well, best of luck to you both on the ladder tomorrow. I know you've got a long day ahead of you, and then in June, hopefully we can get you back on and talk about some tournament wins and high legend finishes, because nothing makes me happier. JR, what about you, man? Shoutouts for the week. Where can people find you?
I just want to give a shout out to Ray and Freshka for... It's Freshka. I can't pronounce his name. I've been having a tough time all show, and I apologize. It just doesn't come out of my mouth correctly.
Yeah, this is why
just don't get me sued. I'm not affiliated with any pop drinks, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to give a shout out to you guys for... joining us this week and giving us some really good insight.
Yeah.
Of course, you can follow me over on Twitter at Eldorian. Neither one of our guests do follow me, so don't be like them.
Oh my god.
Wrecked.
Feels bad, man.
Oh.
Wrecked. Oh. That was Brode tweet level wrecked right there. Damn.
I mean, after this show, I think I need to balance my follower account, so I think I'm going to unfollow John and follow you, so it's like... You know,
dude, I don't even blame you, man. You can't get to me. You can't. I know. Even if you don't follow me on Twitter, I know that you're still stalking my timeline. Following. So
it's okay. Following you in my heart.
Can't say it.
Can't say it.
That was a trap, and I almost went there. Dang. Well, as for me, you can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod. I do stream quite a bit now that I'm in the new Studio 5. It's an amazing room. It's pretty cool. If you haven't seen it yet, go to my Twitter feed, and I've posted everything from like being just a pile of cords and 3 desks to getting it to where it is now. It's pretty awesome. I'm really happy to be here and playing a lot more Hearthstone and Overwatch, and playing a little PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds right now, and that's been interesting.
I've been wanting to play that. We need to play that.
I would love to.
I need to buy it and play it.
I would love to. Hit me up anytime, because I play like 4 games by myself, and I can't handle it. I can't do it. I need someone there with me.
I played the other one that's popular.
I'll hold your hand, John.
The one that came out before
King of the Kill.
Somewhere.
H1Z1.
Yeah, I played that one. So
yeah, it's very similar. I think it's From the streams I've watched, it's better. But
yeah,
from my playing, I don't know. Anyways, twitch.tv/kicktripod. I'm really close to hitting 800 followers, and we'll do a little celebration stream when that happens. I might have crossed it actually during this stream because we streamed it on my channel tonight. So, but anyways, yeah, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for tuning in for episode 110 of Well Met. You can find us 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/blizzpro every Monday. Sorry, we're a day late. And yeah, send us your emails to wellmet@blizzpro.com and follow us on Twitter at wellmetpodcast. This has been episode number 110. We'll see you guys next week.